You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we're going to be talking about Arsenal's Cinderella dream year and how Leicester City and Tottenham are trying to ruin it, but Danny Welbeck's massive forehead won't let them. And we're also going to talk about Everton taking shots like a high school girl hanging out with Adam Johnson.
After that, we are talking about the Chinese Super League, they're planning to take over the world.
Big money.
They're going to run everything soccer related. You better bow to your Chinese overlords. They have taken Obafemi Martins from us. They have taken Ramirez, Gervinho, Teixeira, Jackson Martinez. They are all gone, and they are now Chinese people. also, Harry Ship traded from the Chicago Fire. How devastating and sad. Watch his Twitter account.
Segment number three. Welcome to Kirby's Corner. We look at Jermaine Jones make a complete fool of himself. Serge Aurier goes on Periscope like we do during the taping of the segment, and he insults Laurent Blanc and Zlatan, which is a no-no. Steve Nash kicks up an assist to the NBA slam dunk contest, and it's awesome. And Lionel Messi is named La Liga Player of the Month for the first time. What? That can't be true, but it is.
Today on the
Cooligans!
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
What a weekend!
What a weekend. This has been
Wow.
I'm in a good mood.
Are you?
I know you're in a good mood.
I am in a rip-roaring good mood, regardless of the fact. There it is. Kirby's in the background. He's happy. I think every Arsenal fan is, I wouldn't say as happy as can be, because Tottenham also won, but I mean, you know.
We talked about it a lot last week.
I screamed so loud, dude. Holy Lord.
Loud, what, like orgasmic loud?
Only dogs could hear me. And I know that because my mother-in-law told me to cut it out. Come on.
If you didn't flub the line, it would have been even better.
Come on.
But good. All right.
For the record, I know that was bad. That's why I said. Oh boy.
But yeah, it was an exciting week. We were pretty hype about the weekend last week.
Yeah, I was nervous. I was nervous.
Because we knew sort of the implications to, you know, the Premier League title. So we knew there was a lot that was gonna define who was gonna end up on top.
This weekend would mean a lot.
Yeah, and we sort of look, if Leicester would have won, we were saying it felt like everything was basically over.
I mean, if Leicester would have won or drew, it would have been the most Arsenal of events.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Of results, I should say, for the weekend. I mean, let's talk about if Arsenal lost or drew.
Yeah.
You know, we stay so many points behind, and Tottenham wins. I mean, we're, you know, that would have been worst case scenario for us across the board. And the toughest part for me as an Arsenal fan is I don't want to ruin the Leicester.
It's the
Cinderella story, this honeymoon that the world has.
It's a beautiful story.
I don't want them to win if it means, like, if we weren't in it, I'd be like, yeah, go for it. I don't give a, like, if I was a Chelsea fan, first of all, God forbid. And second of all, like, yeah, who cares?
Don't even joke about stuff like that.
I know, right? I mean, that's disrespectful, I think, to my ancestors. But, like, I think if you're a fan of a club that's not in it, no offense, like Everton, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have a chance to win the league, right? You're hoping to get in the top four. Maybe you kind of want Leicester to win. Deep down inside, it's kind of cool. And I don't want to be the one who's like shitting on that. But at the same time, oh boy, do I want Arsenal to win.
No, but I mean,
I think the league for me this year is more important than Champions League. Everyone's like, oh, you're going to lose to Barcelona. I could care less. And I mean that as an Arsenal fan. I don't care if we lose 12-1. I don't care. If we win the Premier League, that's way more important for me.
Okay. Well, what if you lose the Premier League and win the Champions League?
Great. But still, we haven't won the league in so many years. And here's the thing, like, I'd rather win one or the other. And that's not me conceding to Barcelona. I hope we rip Barcelona apart. But if at the end of the year, I'm looking back and Arsenal having won the league and having lost Champions League, who cares?
Okay.
Yeah, who cares? Look, if Leicester won the Champions League, which obviously they're not in it, or someone like a Tottenham won the Champions League, that would hurt.
As the fan of a team that has no real dog in the fight of the right. of the Premier League title, yes.
Besides my mother-in-law, why am I just constantly? I mean, it's getting worse. She's actually a beautiful woman.
But you know, as a fan of Everton, obviously, look, they're pretty much out of it. They are out of it. But yeah, I was rooting for Leicester. You know, I was.
And you almost picked Arsenal as a club.
I almost did, but I did not. And
thank you for that, because it seems like it's relieved the pressure from the club.
But the Leicester story, was the game itself was, look, Leicester scored first. There was a controversial penalty kick.
Very controversial.
It looked like if I was the ref, I would. At game speed, I probably would have called it also.
Right. And I don't see a reason why you wouldn't. Yeah. But everyone was like, you diving, see where I get it.
It wasn't a dive. It wasn't a dive, but it was.
Come on. He dragged his foot into the.
No. It is the equivalent of drawing contact in the NBA.
No, it's not.
That's what I saw it as.
If your free throw is countered for 40 points each, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that is. That's not the equivalent at all. I mean,
not in value, obviously. It would be like in the type of getting the call or not.
And here's the thing: if an Arsenal player had done it, I'd appreciate it. Yeah. You know, so I can't complain
best
too
move
much.
Ever.
Yeah, and you know, people are saying like Perez is the reason. He's the guy who recently someone said that he's the reason why there's, you know, diving or flopping if you're American.
I thought it was LeBron.
It's all LeBron.
It's LeBron's fault.
You know, and South America. I'm half South American, and you know that's. Something that we technically either invented or perfected, something along those lines, and I see the strategic reason for it. Tough when it's penalties, you know. If you're getting a free kick outside the box, fine. I mean, no one can be mad at you. Everyone gets a Gatorade break or a Lucozade break if you're in Europe. Mm-hmm. But you know, to draw a penalty in a game of that importance, I have to be angry at you for it. You know what I mean? And again, if Walcott did it. If Giroud did it, I'd be like, God, he's beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
And this is he's obviously very smart, you know. Like I can understand why Leicester City fans are defending Vardy, and why wouldn't you? And I don't think it tarnishes, you know, the story. I think the story is great, and I don't want them to. In a parallel universe, I wouldn't care if they won.
It is like a weird thing because obviously you are a huge. You're the team that you love is playing this team, and you obviously want your team to win.
Right.
But there's this...
it's like being one of Cinderella's stepsisters. You're like, well, I mean, of course we want her to do it.
Yeah, you
want to
be happy for her. Yeah, like, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I want her to still be here and cleaning, you know? Like, I don't want to be
doing
this myself.
Because it is such a unique story that it's difficult as like a you know, we're used to watching... Especially, you know, lots of movies, the underdog, Remember the Titans, like that. We love that story, especially as Americans. There's so many movies like that,
right?
That we love seeing that in real life because it almost we only see it as fantasy and we don't really believe that it's possible all the time.
I mean, Leicester City at this point are the fourth member of the Cooligans. You know what I mean? Like we constantly talk about
them. They've been brought up quite a bit. Yeah, but I mean, in sort of every new soccer news
everywhere,
it's so shocking, you know, and especially given that this is my first time really paying attention to the league. This is all I hear. Every single show on ESPN FC constantly Leicester. They can't believe that any of this is happening. So, which just constantly reaffirms to me like how dominant the top four, the top six really have been. Because I'm basing it on the reactions I see from all these correspondents.
Yeah,
and they're losing their damn minds.
They're going insane.
So the fact that it is this late in the season and Leicester's ahead and still is a very viable team that could really win the league is causing a lot of confusion.
Right. And I think it's good for the league for them to be, you know, up near the top. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound stupid, but if they finish in second, it's still a pretty good story. I mean, it's not. Because they get into the Champions League and stuff. I mean, it's like, I don't know what to say. I want them, the heartwarming part of me wants them to have a great story.
Yeah.
I want to win the league so bad, and I don't think it's a concession for me for us to win the Champions League. I just don't. There's something about not having won the Premier League for as long as we haven't. And
but it's been a while, like 10 years?
At least, yeah. Yeah, no, for sure it has. And, you know, we've been close, and finishing fourth, finishing second just isn't enough this year. Then this, I don't think we're going to have an opportunity. You know, we got Pep coming into the league next year. This is it. This is for all the marbles, all of this. And we have to win the league. And I can tell you that I thought I was conceding what was happening watching that match. And the funniest thing was when that free kick was being taken.
The end. So if anyone has not seen the match, obviously, holy, I don't know how why you didn't watch it. But you know,
I woke up at 7 a.m. I went to bed at like 3, maybe 4 in the morning.
I went to sleep so late I couldn't. I watched it later, but I couldn't watch it in real time.
Oh, my God. Did you know what happened when you saw it?
Yeah. I had to, once I watched it, I knew what was going to happen, but it was still a good match.
Still a great match.
If you hadn't seen it, Arsenal beat Leicester City 2-1.
Yeah.
A thriller of a game, very exciting, very, very chippy. You know, Leicester got a man sent off after two yellow cards. He got the two yellow cards pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
Which was also kind of controversial. Ranieri was sort of complaining about that he felt that. Because it was this game that, you know, those two yellow cards probably shouldn't have been given in that quick succession. But to Simpson, it was Danny Simpson.
Yeah.
The first one, you know, I think it was in like an accumulation thing. He had already committed a few fouls.
Right.
It was just like, all right, look, I gave you too many chances. The second one, the second yellow, it seemed too deliberate. It seemed reckless.
Right. It was obvious.
He didn't need to do it. Obviously, you know.
And it's not the ref's fault for giving him a yellow. If you put yourself in that position,
he pulled Giroud by the arm.
Yeah.
And maybe Giroud sold it a little bit more, but he did prevent Giroud from, you know, going forward.
Right.
So.
And it's a goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah. He did deserve the yellow, I thought.
So and so they had a, and let me tell you something, the way they play, they're, you know, the Invincibles, when Arsenal went completely undefeated, I remember that season where if we went down a man, and even like maybe the year before and after that, like it didn't seem like we played better, but it seemed like we had a plan for how to play when we were down a man, you know, and Leicester plays. And I mean, there's no other way of categorizing it besides, you know, everything we complained about Chelsea, that's how they play. They park the bus. And they hit you on counterattacks. Their counterattacks are just lethally fast and actually quite beautiful to watch. And every one of their players is playing way out of their skin. I mean, not one of their players that's on the team have played this way ever in their career. So, you know, their counterattack is brutal sometimes, you know, just in how fast they can get on top of you. It's still, they can still play that way with 9 men, you know, on the pitch besides a keeper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they're down to 10 men, they can still play that way. So they were still kind of threatening. And a guy as fast as Jamie Vardy is and as dangerous as he is up top, they were still dangerous. Part of me was like, they're going to score again. Down to 10. Like, I was just ready. First of all, it was 7 a.m. I hadn't had my massive sausage, egg, and cheese yet.
You didn't have the protein necessary to really focus.
I was trying to make coffee. I missed the first 6 minutes of the match just trying to make coffee, just complaining the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I held my poop in. I held my morning poop in. I know, right?
Yeah,
this
serious.
Is how much of a fan I am. I'm willing to ruin my insides.
Yeah. You only hold your poop in for Arsenal matches and your wedding anniversary.
Yeah,
those are very the important
two very important things. But sausage and cheese at each turn. So you know, watching that, I felt the entire time like Arsenal was about to give up a goal, and when that free kick came up, I remember the announcer saying, "Well, this is it," and I thought to myself, for some reason, I was looking straight at Welbeck. The entire time, I only focused on Welbeck. I didn't even see Mesut Ozil.
Welbeck was only staring at Mertesacker's penis, apparently.
Apparently. Did you see that picture there? Oh, my gosh.
If you go on the on Instagram, go on the Soccer Cooligans Instagram, you can see, there's a great image of, you know, the Arsenal squad
lining up
as a wall for a free kick. And Murdersack, per Murdersacker, is just straight up holding his junk.
Yeah, two-handing
I mean, you need two hands for that.
Yeah, like you're, that big boy. Like your pocket broke and you had a Maglite flashlight in it, and you're like, I guess I have to hold this thing so it doesn't fall through. It's exactly what it looked like. I mean, and Welbeck is just looking down like, okay.
Okay, we're doing this here?
All right. All right, slow down.
Good for you, man.
All right, bro. Feel bad for your lady.
So you were staring at Welbeck. You're watching Welbeck during the free kick.
I'm looking directly at him, and the only thing I can think is, one, he's going to score. One, because he has that massive forehead, right? This is perfect for him.
Right, yes.
And
his lineup is very...
Stephen A. Smith-ish. is pushing back a little bit. But I honestly had this warmth and this overall confidence come over me that he was going to score.
Okay.
And then
he almost scored. There was a shot he sort of whiffed on right by the net.
Yeah. By the way, I mean, every one of us kicked it wide, struck wide.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
Second half, Arsenal had so much possession.
Sure.
We wore them down. Everyone was forward.
Yeah.
They wanted this victory so much.
Right. Everyone but the keeper was up there. And this was, you could see the importance of it. You could see how important it was.
Very much so.
You know, Arsene Wenger didn't care if the zipper didn't work. You know, he was up. He was in front. You know, he was staring. And when that kick was released, all I could do was stare at Welbeck. And no one's going to believe me, but all I could do was stare at Welbeck. And before that, I was like, he's going to do it, isn't he? And then he does. And I don't know how to explain the lack of sound that came out of me. I was trying to make the loudest scream possible. No sound came out of my mouth. My wife is asleep in the other room. She's like, what is happening? A baby started crying. I woke up a baby. You know, I'm yelling at the baby through the door. Yeah,
stop ruining this moment for me.
I just, it was just one of those moments where I couldn't explain the feeling coming out of me. And I, part of me knew, like, all right, Tottenham still has to play. And if they win, they also go back up to even on points. I didn't care. You know, it was just like, and it wasn't good. It wasn't as good as winning the league. Okay, I'm not going to say that. Like, it's not like we don't have to win the league now. But part of me was like, this is now the beginning of our season. This is it.
Yeah.
We have set the course for the... And of course, in true Arsenal style, we're going to come back next week and put up a goose egg. But, you know, like, let's do it. Like, this is the point. This is the time right now. Let's just do it. This is the club. This is the time. I don't care if everyone hates us for ruining the Leicester story. You know what? I don't know. You know, who's coming in next year? Sheffield Wednesday, maybe? I don't know who it is. Like, is someone? Derby County? We'll come in and do it, okay? Make the Leicester story. If Arsenal win the league, yeah, I'm fine for another few years. I'm fine.
That makes sense.
We're going to win the league. And, you know, the story about Mesut Ozil not re-signing his contract came out just before it.
Yeah, so there was a lot of rumors. It was unsettling.
Yes, it was one of those moments where I'm like, God, you know, this is what it must be like to be an Everton fan.
it was an interesting match because it felt like for the first time in all season that Leicester, that Arsenal were the underdog to Leicester. Everyone expected Leicester to win.
Yeah.
Which is so strange. They even throughout their streaks and playing well and being in good form, everyone is like, oh, but this is the game. This is the game where they're going to fall off. This is it.
Everyone expected
it. It never happens. But this was, it felt like the first time where, like, Arsenal, you felt it, especially when Walcott scored.
Both substitutions. By the way, when was the last time Walcott and Welbeck scored at the same time?
This was like same match. This was FIFA 2010. This is a different roster.
It's very odd for England. I think might have been the only time both of them scored in a friendly against San Marino. You know, this is highly unlikely. And you know what's funny? Leicester kind of proved themselves a little bit.
Yeah,
don't
I thought
you think
so.
Don't you think they kind of showed well? And I know that may not be enough of a consolation prize for their fans. I get that, you know? But they kind of proved themselves to be worthy of being up there. Not just because of how they played against Arsenal, but because, I mean, that's kind of, first of all, there's only one team in the league who beat Leicester City twice. Thank you very much. Am I right, Kirby? Thank you. Two snaps and a hey, yeah. There we go. There it is. There's only one team to do it. But you know what? They showed really well against most of the major clubs and the top table teams. And maybe they can't beat Arsenal, but not a lot of people can. But it's great to see them. This isn't a fluke.
Yeah, they played their hearts out, man. That defensive back is
the back line.
Huth, you know, Robert Huth.
Huth and what's the other dude's name?
Morgan. Simpson. I don't know who the other...
Dude, Danny Drinkwater plays amazing. By the way, all of these guys on a different team wouldn't be nearly as good as they are as a unit, you know? And I think the only player that I think might have had a subpar game was Mahrez.
Yeah.
I think Mahrez kind of looked... I mean, look, if you're Arsenal, you had him in your pocket, but he looked out of his league a bit. He looked out of sorts, and I don't know if it was just the pressure got to him or maybe we had, like, you know, good tactics against him, but he did look, you know, out of place for a while there, and you know what? Great. I'm glad we won. Let's walk away.
Yeah.
Head held high.
And what I liked after the match, I thought they really showed a lot of respect to each other. You know, all these guys that are pretty much cast-offs on any other team.
Yeah.
Arsenal was like, yeah, you gave us... That was a real match. And that, I mean, it was full of drama. Everything you sort of want from a Premier League match, and especially at that caliber and the importance of those points. Because if that was a draw...
Oh, my God.
If that was a draw, it would have been so deflating for Arsenal.
The story should not have ended in a draw, right? Like, that's... It kind of needed...
It was cool. You know what? I kind of...
And Welbeck to come in after being out for so long.
Yeah.
So injured. And to just put his head right on that ball and just...
Final touch of the ball.
And by the way, how I was out of my skin when Koscielny had to go out and they brought on... Colin Chambers. Meanwhile, Gabriel is sitting there, and every time Gabriel's been in, we've only gave up one goal in Gabriel's last seven matches that he played a full 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? He's got pace. He's got the athleticism, not to be able to withstand, you know, Vardy, but he's better at it than Mertesacker. So the whole time I'm thinking, what is happening? You know, why are we bringing Colin Chambers? Oh my God, he looked great. He was a great center back. So much so that I think I would rather have Callum Chambers and Gabriel as our center backs than Koscielny and Mertesacker. He looked incredible.
Okay. All right. Well,
send a letter to Arsene.
Arsene
Wenger.
Obviously, this was a big game, and the emotions of your passion towards your team is coming out.
Very much so.
But there's more teams in the league than just Arsenal.
Ugh, why talk about them? I think
so. Obviously, it was a lot of important games for especially those top four. Tottenham beating Man City 2-1, and that was another controversial call, another penalty kick. Well, how do you feel about it? So Raheem Sterling, I forgot exactly who was crossing it, but there was a cross into the box. Raheem Sterling turns his back, puts his elbow out just a tad. The ball hits his back, then his elbow.
It kind of hit like his back armpit.
Correct, yeah.
Right? Like the back of his armpit.
And so a lot of people would say he had his back turned. He's not trying to make himself big, but apparently... The ref did not agree. Immediately called a penalty. Did not, you know, talk to another.
Yeah, none of the other officials. Nothing.
He immediately saw it as he was making himself big, and he kept gesturing. He kept like, look.
He was doing like a chicken wing.
He
like
brought it. Isaac was a great dance. He was killing it.
Yeah, he was crushing it.
He did the tootsie roll after, which I was like, all right, cool. This guy knows his stuff.
Well, Raheem Sterling put his hand upon his hip, and then they dip. We dip.
Exactly. So
for all the old heads out there.
It's a great, before the nay-nay and the whip. We had
before we were whipping an A-N-A.
We had the tootsie roll.
Yeah.
We are old. But Raheem Sterling, he said he was saying that he had his elbow out. I honestly didn't think he was he made the call while Raheem Sterling was in the air. Like you
turning
when turning
his body.
And when you jump, you need that lever. You use your arms to sort of pull your body up. And that's all it really looked like to me.
They're supposed to be, when you're in the box, you're supposed to have your hands like you're river dancing. You know what I mean? Like you're supposed to have your hands like tucked in So that if it's not a question, but when you're jumping and turning, you use your arms for balance.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying this because I'm anti-Tottenham, but that was a very, very iffy call. And it's one of those where it could go either way. And the fact that it went that way, and I could understand Tottenham fans being upset if it didn't get called. But if it didn't get called, there would be people saying, it's not really, you know what I mean? Like, there would be arguments. It's not one of those where if it went the other way, you'd be, you know, oh, this is completely unfair. That was obviously, there wasn't that much of a arm out. Where yeah. you got to say to yourself, no, that's it. That's a penalty.
It is it's watching the Premier League this season, especially compared to MLS, I feel like this is a much bigger deal in the Premier League. I don't know if it's if the rules are different or the referees are sort of coached a little differently on how to call this, because some people are saying if it hits your arm, it's a penalty kick automatically. Yeah. There's no question. But then there's nuance to it. There is. Does he have his arms out? Is he trying to make himself big? And
for the millionth time, this is what's great about soccer. It's this right here.
Yeah.
For the billionth time, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who hosts a pretty big soccer sports show, and they don't talk soccer on it. And he was like, "Oh, we got to find a way to get the scoring up. Stop trying to change the sport." The whole world enjoys it.
Yeah.
This is why you have judgment calls that are made that you can go back and talk about, and you can go back, and this is the part of the sport that's exciting. This is what's awesome, because you and I may disagree. It seems like we agree that it probably wasn't a penalty, but if you and I disagree, we could talk about this for the next week until something else happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is nuance. There's 17 rules in the whole sport. You know, like something so simple as was his arm, was he trying to divert the ball? Was his arm in the way on purpose? Was he trying to make himself big, as you've said? I don't think yes for either of those things, so it shouldn't have been a penalty. And I think to punish Tottenham, we should send them to League Two.
I think they're
going to. Does that seem fair?
The ref committee is going to go over it again and be like, the ref was correct.
Yeah.
But Tottenham has to go to the championship two. Because. You want to go even further.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm being too kind.
How about this League Two in France?
Learn a new language.
Get out of here, Pochettino.
This is also a very difficult time for Arsenal fans because Tottenham is ahead, and they have a chance.
Yeah, and I look
to win the league.
You know, again, this is another reason why I'm kind of anti-Champions League this year, is because we're the only ones who have as many matches out of the three that are battling right now. And, you know, if you're Manchester City, what are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Manchester City looks like not in necessarily disarray, but they seem heavily distracted by the fact that Pep is on his way.
I mean, they're lacking focus.
But who wouldn't lack focus if every news report is Pep is going to get rid of you?
Yeah.
Pep is going to bring in his guys.
Yeah. There's only Pep. I think, what did Pep say? We can't buy a lot of players, but there's not a lot of players in the club I want to keep. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Everybody's worried about if they're going to even have a job. I mean, they will have a job, but they don't know if they're going to have it there.
Right. Like, if you were told the factory's going to shut down at the end of the month, you're probably not going to be working extra hard.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of what what's happening. And here's the thing. Why would you announce any of this before the Tottenham match? Right after, right? Why on God's green earth are you letting people know that the manager's going to be fired?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
They do things oddly in England. I don't know how they work, but there was a lot of pressure on Pep, because it's really Pep's fault, because he didn't sort everything out with Bayern.
We're blaming a guy who's not even in the league.
Yeah. Because that's how much influence he has across. He's the first domino. How, you know, that Pep's decision affected Manchester United over if they were going to get rid of Van Gaal or if they're going to go after Mourinho. But it's like when there's a hot prospect.
Yeah.
When LeBron had his decision,
mm-hmm.
no other teams wanted to sign any other players. because
in hopes that yeah.
there's a chance we might get LeBron. Right. So any other negotiation
puts a freeze on the world.
Exactly,
one guy is going somewhere,
and that's basically what happened. So the fact that Pep didn't decide on renewing his contract with Bayern, then Bayern is constantly like, "Yo, Pep, what's going on? You're gonna beat? You're gonna stay? Or what are you gonna do?"
And now Arsenal's got to do this with Mesut.
And then the media is kind of, "Are you gonna stay? Are you gonna stay?" And then it's like, "All right, fine, I'm leaving."
Ugh.
And then everybody loses their minds because they need an answer.
I mean, just when we got Mesut Ozil's own song, maybe
are you worried about Ozil?
I'm very worried. Very worried.
Why would he leave? I feel like he's having a good time.
If we win the league, I'm less worried.
Yeah,
I feel like that renews my faith for a while. And I mean, my faith isn't, I shouldn't have said that. I'd say it gives me, like, we restart the clock on me being angry. I don't want to lose Mesut Ozil. I think he's incredible. I don't even want to think about it.
This is just making me sad.
It's just making me very frustrated. But I will tell you this. I can't think of who would replace him. And if he's leaving so he can go back to Real Madrid, which his idol is Zidane. He can't stop talking about Zidane. All he ever wanted to do was play with Zidane. If that means he's going back to go play for Zinedine Zidane, I can't be upset. But the rumor is that Barca's interested. How many times is Barca going to take players away from us? How can we keep letting this happen?
So it's either Barca or the Chinese Super League. Who knows?
Oh, the damn CSL.
They're taking all our
They're
good
taking
players.
Everyone. All of our good players, Tim Cahill, Obafemi Martin,
legends in the game, obviously.
Legends. Statues.
The final game I wanted to discuss very quickly, Everton did play West Brom in a match you would think Everton would at least get a result out
of. They had to replace the goalpost and the crossbar.
They hit the post so much.
Oh, my God. How many shots was it total?
34 shots.
Jeez.
Only 6 on goal.
Hilarious.
But still, 34 shots.
Yeah. Well, people in the front row were in traction.
let me get the exact number, 76% time of possession.
It's a healthy number right there. That's a healthy friggin' number.
They had the ball forever, constantly taking shots over and over and over, and they lost 1-0.
Hilarious.
Which is I'm watching the game, and it got to the point where, you know, when you get so frustrated that you just reset and you're like, you're at peace.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You've dealt with the anger.
I went through every step.
Yeah, all steps.
All
denial,
12 steps.
Anger, the other 10.
Yes, yes. I'm officially sober now. Yeah. Just by watching this one
you
match.
You called people to apologize.
They understood what I meant. Like, oh, no, we know you're not an alcoholic.
Isn't it the 4 steps of anger?
Oh, I don't know. Five
stages of grief. That's it. Thank you, Kirby.
I went through all of it.
Youngest yet smartest member of the Cooligans.
So while I'm watching the game, and I, at the second half, I really felt, I'm like, I don't know, maybe 60 minutes in, I was like, they are not going to score.
This is what I'm talking about.
Hard to believe because they are shooting, so they have the ball all the time.
You're saying that, as you said that in your mind, 4 shots were taken.
Just rifling them, an automatic machine gun
right
towards that post.
You took a shot more than every 3 minutes.
Yeah, I guess that would about be the average, yeah.
Jeez.
It was, around the 60th minute, I was like, it's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen.
I mean, it's going to be close.
Right.
They're going to look like.
They may.
Because at that point, before the second half, I'm like, oh, they're going to win this.
Yeah.
Because they're taking too many shots. I mean, something has to go in.
You're like, at some point, one of these is going to go in.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the announcer said the same thing. It's only a moment. Or it's only a
matter of time.
Matter of time.
Yeah. So, it never happened. And it never happened. And it was unbelievable. I mean, it really was unbelievable given that how many opportunities they had.
Right.
And it was just another disappointing result. But we're at the point of the season where it doesn't really matter. Like, there is this nice weight lifted off. Like,
You're not going
to. I don't even have to care.
You're not going to be relegated.
Not going to be relegated. Not going to. Maybe there's a chance of fifth and maybe Europa.
Which would be good.
Which would be cool.
A little more money than what everyone else is getting.
But
who isn't in the Champions
still
League.
pretty tough. Like, I mean, if we would have won this match, I would have said, oh, look, there's a chance for fifth.
Yeah.
But it's not looking...
No.
It's not looking likely. So...
It's not looking likely. In fact, it's looking like, you know... what am I thinking? It's looking like you're kind of going to end up in the middle. And so I ask you, is this a successful season for Everton?
No.
You may lose your goalkeeper. You know, you may lose Stones at the end of the season. Yeah. You know, are you happy with Roberto Martinez? That says it all.
I mean,
you heard that expelling
it's
of not, pressure.
It's
the
weird.
Train's ready to move.
It's
guys.
Not anger. It's not anger. It's definitely. It's mostly disappointment. It's you would expect a little more, but it looks like if they can fix their defensive problems,
woes,
then you know I feel like that could be if I see him going in that direction, I would be a little bit more prideful over the squad, but. That's obviously so. It's conditional. It's conditional love at the moment.
That's a great way to put it. I don't want to add anything to that. Beautifully stated. I feel for you,
but
I'm all the way at the top here. Me and Kirby are all the way at the top.
Can't hear
you down there. I will say this.
I mean, Leicester's at the top. Obviously,
I don't care if
they're standing on your shoulders.
I mean, the shoulders of giants. Might I add?
Yeah. Yeah. One. Tottenham shoulder, one Arsenal shoulder that Leicester's on top of.
I would
of.
Self-break that Tottenham shoulder.
You would just topple that three-layer cake. Just
chop this arm off. I will say this. I don't care if it's children from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We beat them to score so we can take 3 points from every match from here on in and we win the league. I don't care what's in front of us. I don't care who's around us. I don't care if there's people's grannies on TV crying, begging us to not score. We do what it takes to win this league this year because I don't know. I don't know what the league's going to look like next year. It's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. You know, the amount of money City has, plus the amount of money they're going to get from the TV deal, plus Pep Guardiola, plus, you know, yeah, Torre's out of it. I mean, the amount of players that they're going to start to scoop up, you know, I feel like they're going to be Barca in the Premier League. And maybe they won't, you know, be as dominant, but we're going to have something now to think of. We're going to have another hurdle, and this is it for us.
Yeah.
I think if you're Everton, you hope you end up in fifth. You're happy you don't get relegated, take your money. Great, very successful season. Once again, you stayed in the league. You advanced. You developed a bit further ahead. Maybe you got some homegrowns that are really good. Maybe Delafeu takes another step. Delafeu, I should say, takes another step. Thank you, Kirby, for snickering at me.
Delafeu.
You know, it's not the way you say it in Spanish, so I'm not even going to defend myself. Maybe Delafeu takes another step forward. Something happens. I don't know. I don't know what it is for you guys. I know for me, it is all right now. All chips in. We are all in. This has to be it. You know what? Walk on the pitch for Champions League. Walk out. You made your money for the knockout stages. Walk off the pitch in the first second. Kick the ball in your own net and walk off the pitch. Get on a plane. Go back to London. Take a nap, please. Or actually, they're here. Well, you don't have to take a plane. Go back to your apartments. Go back to your lofts. Go take a nap. I don't care if we lose the Champions League. I don't care how badly. I don't care if Barcelona plays the next 90 minutes of just walking the ball down and kicking it in an empty net. I don't care.
Okay. Well, at least it's going to be exciting this summer.
Yeah.
Because we don't know whether you'll be happy to welcome your team to America because Arsenal will be playing the MLS All-Stars this summer.
In San Jose, and we're going. I don't care what it takes. We are going to go.
Yeah, it's
going
to be great. So in July 24th, 26th?
28th.
28th.
Yeah.
Arsenal will be playing the MLS All-Stars. And last year, the MLS All-Stars beat Tottenham, or was it Bayern? No, Tottenham. Played Tottenham last year. Bayern was before that. But I think they also beat Tottenham, right? Last year. So, yeah.
Which makes sense.
What do you, I mean,
quality-wise for
we
Tottenham.
Might have a little streak going being these three Premier League teams.
I think what to look for is El Alam.
Okay, getting Zalem.
Beautiful through balls.
Mhm. Okay.
So we got a lot to look forward to.
We do. So,
let's take a break and come back. How's that sound?
We will do that.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hello, this message is for anyone in the Chinese Super League that has lots and lots of money.
Ni hao, Chinese Super League. I am Christian Polanco of the Cooligans. I am a New York City comedian and co-host of a podcast and YouTube channel that covers Major League Soccer and the Barclays Premier League. We make hilarious videos and have very funny conversations on our podcast, but more importantly, we are on the transfer market, and we have seen the extraordinary amount of cash you've been giving to your new signings, and we are interested in that cash. We've been, you know, kind of interested in covering the Chinese Super League, but as comedians, we have many financial constraints, but we would be willing to take offers from your league and in turn provide some engaging and humorous content about the Chinese Super League. The Hooligans is just the kind of thing a commendable and respected soccer league like yours could benefit from. So please, take some interest in acquiring the Hooligans. We'll make you look good. You guys have a lot of cash, and we have several hands to take that cash. Thank you.
I think the biggest thing to worry about right now, Chinese Super League is buying everybody.
They're taking, Trump was right. Trump was right.
I think at this point we have to admit it. You know,
they are dominating. The Chinese market is dominating
the transfer market. For the lack of a saying yeah. that word twice. Yeah,
I mean, so this is kind of wild, just because, when it comes to athletes playing in Chinese sports leagues, it's not unheard of. We've seen it. It happens.
Stephon Marbury.
Stephon Marbury is a hero. He is Michael Jordan in China.
Yeah, he's
China.
A statue. He's a statue of him.
Yeah, there's a statue of him doing the Henri slide in China, right in Hong Kong.
Yeah, in the air, which is really impressive.
So this is the Chinese Super League, which
I... Could you imagine doing the Henri slide in wood? Oh, brutal.
Knees just... oh, my goodness. Yeah. It would be much. It would be worse than the Peter Griffin, like.
Yeah,
it would be a little worse than that.
Yeah. Just a little. One of my biggest fears has been getting a splinter, like a bad one. I don't know why. I just have this weird fear of splinters. Did you hear about that guy? It was a couple years ago. I think he played for an indoor league in Argentina.
Okay.
He slid on his butt. A chunk of wood went in his butt, got infected, and he died.
What a just timeline. Yeah, yeah. But the woods, obviously, because when you have a specific fear of splinters, it is just this direct. There was there's no bacteria, no infection. It was just wood in his butt.
Died.
Died.
No, by the way, immediately they had a funeral for the guy. And he's like, you guys can take me to the hospital. Yeah. Like,
did my mom know to bring flowers to my funeral?
Why? So you all wore black? Well, this is why you all wore black.
It's like, I should have thought something when you brought all that formaldehyde. Right.
Yeah. Ready to just, you're going to embalm me while I'm talking to you? This seems odd.
Okay, that's an interesting fear. I don't really have.
Sorry, I know we were talking about the Chinese Super League.
No, but before the Chinese,
that wood paneling made in China.
Before, I mean, maybe a couple months ago, I never even heard of the Chinese Super League. Didn't even know it was that.
Well, it wasn't important.
Prominent of a league.
It's not.
So all of a sudden, I don't know where they got this money, but they have all the money now.
They have all of it,
and it seems like it's like two or three teams that have it all, and they want. They want what you got.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to take it.
And they're going after it.
They're Mr. Steal Your Girl. Like, would you? You got a mediocre player from Brazil? Well, son, it's mine now.
Exactly.
I'm going to pay him triple what you're paying him.
They're scooping up all our B talent.
Yeah, dude. And here's the thing. They don't care who it is. They want bodies, man.
Yeah, so I've been reading a little bit about the league, and they have a pretty good attendance record. Similar to MLS.
Yeah.
They average
very passionate fans.
They average about 22,000 fans, in attendance per match.
Which, if you average it out, because it's China, that's like 7 Americans.
There's it's not that impressive. No. Yeah, by Chinese
weight.
Standards,
even by weight, it's like 7 Americans.
They only serve Chinese food at the concession stands, but they always complain about.
Always complain about.
They have an issue with that, but But yeah, so they have a reasonable fan base for their league. So they're obviously growing. So
I've mentioned this in a past podcast. You know, the president, this current president or prime minister, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I want to say it is a president, right? Mm-hmm. I knew it. This current president made soccer mandatory in the schools.
Yeah.
Every kid has to learn to play soccer. So there was the only American to ever score. I can't remember the dude's name. He was over there for a little over a year. In the Chinese Super League, he said that everyone has great technical ability, great shot, because they're like they're trained on how to do that.
Sure.
There's no free flowing. There's no freedom. There's no creativity.
There's no freedom of choice. There's no.
No, there's no nothing.
You can't have any opinion.
Every team has to wear red. It's very confusing.
You don't know who you're passing to.
Very confusing.
At the end of the day, China always wins.
China always wins. And by the way, there's no team. There's no clubs. There's no team names. All of them are Chinese national team. So Chinese national team red is playing Chinese national team run. Guess who wins? That's right, baby.
Ooh, the drama.
Well, where is the goal going to go? And it doesn't matter, baby. Chinese Super League wins every time. Chinese national team wins every time. It's kind of scary if you're an MLS executive. No?
This is really the big issue, because the Chinese Super League is buying talent from all the big leagues, anybody they can really get
not like the bigger names,
not
right?
The bigger
names. They're not going after like the Zlatans. They're going after Lavezzi, you know?
Yeah, there's still quality guys that most clubs would be sad to lose.
Sure.
You know, because they don't have to pay them like a superstar.
No, of course not.
And they still get a pretty good player, but you know, if you're a player, so the reason this has been kind of hits a little closer to home for us is because
these are the people we should be buying.
Well, to that also, but Obafemi Martins, the striker for the
Star striker for Seattle,
he was one of the leading goal scorers in the MLS last season.
Sure.
Great play. We got to see him play. He's very good, very
incredible.
Quick.
Well, I didn't get to go. I didn't get to.
Oh, that's it. I got to see him play.
You got to see him play.
So, you know, no, I'm not bragging.
They beat us, though, right?
They did beat us.
It's not a bad match. Not a bad match to miss.
So, but Obafemi Martins going to the Chinese Super League, one of the stars of the MLS.
Yeah, probably. I would say probably the most productive offensive person in the last few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're Seattle, this is a big loss.
Yeah, and it's sort of a joy to watch them play. I like seeing good players, even on other teams. I don't want them to beat NYCFC, but
no, they are fun to watch. He's very fun.
It shows a growth in the league and that there's strength in the other squads, and it makes me happy that the league is more competitive.
Right.
So I'm pretty bummed that he's leaving.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's more what bums me out more is that we're losing a player like Obafemi Martins to he would have stayed here if he was paid more, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and he was never going to get what he was getting offered from China.
You know, they're paying on average, I think the number that I saw in a report was either 9 or 10 million
yen or
a year.
What are they paying him?
Yen. 48 billion yen, which is three blenders.
No, wait, is yen Japanese?
Yen is Japanese.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't even, what's
Yuan,
okay.
Yeah, tell me what yuan. there it is,
more,
baby.
More yuan.
I want some guap. Not yuan. I wish we could be paid in guap, right? Baltimore FC. You just paid a straight guap. Yo, get in this room and grab a stack of cash.
Man. I'd like to get paid in Kwan.
Kwan?
As Jerry Maguire would offer.
If you're the MLS, you're scared.
Yes.
You have to be. This is a direct shot because the whole point is we're growing and players will want to come here. They'll take a little less money because they're retired. No, not anymore.
Yeah.
There's other leagues. And you know what? Another league that should be a little fearful is someone like maybe an A-League, you know, Australia's league.
Okay.
This is these are other players that should be playing in Australia. And China's right there. You know, that's right in their wheelhouse.
And China's doing what essentially the MLS is doing
with
designated players to some degree. They don't even really care about the quality of the player necessarily, but they know that if they bring big names, they will sell more tickets. They're trying to sell more tickets.
Here's the thing. Their rule's a little different. They can only have 5 international players per club.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a club in China, you want to get the most bang for your buck, right?
Yeah.
but it's an open league. And I'm not one of these guys that's like, we absolutely need promotion and relegation or else. Look, I can be a fan of the league without there having to be a promotion and relegation system just yet. I think there has to be at some point. I feel like we're just going to run into some roadblocks once we're much more of a footballing country where we realize we'll gain more benefits from having that system. And maybe it won't happen because of the way, you know, things work out with ownership or the fact that we're single entity. I don't know. I feel like we will need it at some point. I don't think it's dire right now. I think we would improve if we had it. But one thing we have that's, I think, more of an issue is this cap. You know, and I get that, you know, financial solvency and being able to sort of, I guess, pay, and, you know, maybe China's been bad at paying their players in the past, and I get the fact that, you know, we're able to make money and no one's losing money and the league isn't folding like the NASL did, and who knows, maybe the Chinese Super League folds pretty soon. I don't know. At the end of the day, we have such a tight cap. We can't compete with the rest of the world, and either we're going to build stars that Americans want to watch, or we have to buy stars that Americans want to watch. And right now, we're not buying stars in America. And I get NYCFC has a great list of them. It wouldn't surprise me if you know, they came after Andrea Pirlo. It wouldn't surprise me if they came after David Villa.
And it would be difficult to resist the kind of money that they're offering.
Maybe CFG can, because they don't necessarily need it. And for them, it would be smarter for them to market these players. It would make more financial sense for them to have players like that on their payroll, because it builds their club a little faster if you're NYCFC, if you're CFG looking at NYCFC. But if you're the Columbus Crew, you know that your bottom line is your bottom line. It's not, you know, some, you know, big chic. Or if you're, you know, the Portland Timbers and someone offers you $13, $14, $28 million for one of your players, what are you going to do? Are you going to say no? And here's the other thing. Why can't we use that money towards players? If you make $28 million and you're the Timbers, what are you going to do with the $28 million?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the MLS is sort of following the model of all the other American sports.
Bleh.
And trying to keep...
That's my sound effect for that.
Trying to keep every team sort of in it every year. And it's just a difference in philosophy. I mean, look, some people have decided to not go to China and have been offered. Nelson Valdez, he got offered an opportunity to go play in China, and he was straight up like, no, I'm happy in here. Seattle.
Yeah.
And there's a certain risk you take, obviously, going to play in China. You don't know what the hell China's like.
Right.
You obviously don't speak the language. It's a little bit tougher to pick up that language over.
I thought you were going to say women. I'm like, Jesus Christ, where's he going with this?
No, I think the women will be fine.
I think you're going to be just fine. You're a footballer.
Like, yeah, you're a footballer. You look nothing like every other Asian person here. Yeah. This is very exciting.
Right. You got dreadlocks. They're like, ooh. Okay.
Haven't you ever been to, when you go to a country that nobody looks like you, and you're like, oh my, who is this? Like, right. You're like
celebrity.
You're the most fascinating.
That's like when you went to Ireland.
When I went to Ireland, I was a goddamn superstar.
Yeah.
It was just like, people were just, they were. There's a certain excitement when people get to talk to a race of people that they're not used to interacting with. Because it's literally, for a lot of people in Ireland, it's like, oh, I've only seen them on TV.
Sure.
So this is like...
You're Will Smith.
I'm Will Smith.
You're Will Smith.
I'm more Jaden, I think, to them.
You're more Jaden?
I'm a little too eccentric. I don't know.
I'm Dom DeLuise wherever I go. I know that. Yeah, when I was in Spain, people were looking at me and they were like, is he one of us?
Yeah,
or,
what's the deal?
You know, how is he? And then I went into stores and they were like, well, that's a mistake. You're not going to fit in anything in our country. And they were right. I got a double XL flannel shirt because that's my game.
Okay.
Had to give it to my wife.
Yeah, it must have
been. It was relatively, it fit her. She's a double XL men's and she's a thin woman.
Yeah.
So thank you, Spain, for not growing the sizes like you should have, like Americans have.
No,
because we all know a current day double XL is like a 4XL a few years ago. But anyway. So
with this, especially with this news that Oba's leaving, we've been talking a lot about Jordan Morris. Is he going to make the starting lineup? And Oba was like, yeah, I got it. Yeah. I left it warm for you, bro.
Yeah, come on, dude. open space. I mean, he has to start now, right?
He
I mean, who else is going to be up front? If he doesn't, boy, that looks bad.
I mean, that would be hard. I don't even know who would start.
I'd have to eat my words if he scores like 30 goals.
Imagine he does.
He just crushes it.
The next MLS MVP.
He gets sold to the Chinese Super League next year. Cries, comes back.
Oh, man.
What's going to happen to the MLS? I think changes have to be made. I mean, you know, what changes are there to be made? You know, can you grow the cap?
I mean, it seems like every other sport pretty much does this over time. You increase the salary cap.
We're stuck in what we have until 2018.
At this point, this increase in the salary cap has to be at least be considered. Otherwise, we're going to get into essentially bidding wars, and we're going to lose to China.
We'll lose bad.
I mean,
MLS can't even pay money. I mean, LA Galaxy didn't pay anything for DeJong and Young. They didn't pay anything for them.
Who paid for them?
They were like on a free, or they the other team paid the majority of the other.
Oh, they like they did some. They rigged. Like,
please take these guys off our hands.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I'm sure Nigel DeJong is looking over and being like, "Man, I could have been in the Chinese Super League for like 28 mil." You know, instead of
a little remorse. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that big names are going to be. I mean, and here's the other thing.
I mean, I enjoy Mexican food, but not $28 million, giving up $20 million.
You could fly like a bunch of Mexican chefs over to your and you have them at your will. Just be like, hey, you mind making me a taco? Thank you. I know I'm paying you a lot of money. I'm making a lot of yuan.
I think the
you want to make me a taco.
I think that there's a if this isn't sorted out with MLS. I think it could be cause a lot of strife with China, cause a lot of debate. I don't know. Who knows if World War III could be, you know,
right around the corner
in MLS Chinese Super League.
Yeah,
you know, that's how the first bullet was fired. You know, from MLS to the Chinese Super League or vice versa. Who knows?
Yeah. This could be it. This could be the beginning of the deteriorating of international relationships.
Yeah, and then Trump gets elected, and then it's gonna fall. Everything's gonna fall apart. This could be the first.
You know what? Maybe if Trump gets elected, he's a business person.
Okay.
Maybe he forces MLS to get rid of their cap. How insane would that be?
I mean, it would be.
He'd also force them to get rid of their Mexican players. I mean, because it would all be. That would be bad. That part would be bad.
Yeah, anybody with a Muslim-sounding name. And yeah,
not allowed in the league.
Not on the.
It's like, no, my first name is Al. My last name is Harbaugh. Al Harbar, you're out of here. No, I don't think.
No,
my family's Scottish. I think you're way off on this one, Trump.
No, I got a gut feeling. I got a gut feeling.
What do you mean I have to play for Guantanamo FC? That's just not fair. Which not a bad would be. Come on, I mean, a great place to play.
A Cuban team,
right?
Yeah.
Well, technically American sovereign land, right? Vieques FC would be just. It would be the bomb.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, not everybody gets that.
That's an old reference.
Yeah, yeah, old reference. But it was a very trying time in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Wasn't Al Sharpton went on a hunger strike during that time? Didn't he?
Is that how he got thin?
Yeah, I think so, actually. Yeah. Okay. Somebody went on a hunger strike.
It wasn't lap band surgery.
This is why I don't want to lose too much weight. Like, he's got that big bobblehead now. He's got the big lollipop head now.
No, but I've seen pictures of you when you were thin. You got a perfectly good size head.
No, man, I got a big old noggin.
Do you?
Oh, my God. I had to get a special football helmet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was special about it?
It wasn't. It didn't hurt as much as the other ones. It was larger. Yeah. Oh, and tight as hell.
Okay, I'm curious.
Big dudes. Big dudes got that big old big dude head.
Lose weight so I can make fun of your head.
No.
It'd be so great for me.
Yeah, it would. It'd really open up a lot of new channels for you.
I can share jeans with you and.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
No one never wear someone else's jeans.
The size 30?
Is that where you're at?
I thought I'm a size 30.
I think it was that in sixth grade. well, anyway. Look.
The last thing I wanted to talk about very quickly in MLS news, Harry Shipp from the Chicago Fire.
I was going
to
say no. No, we can't talk about this. Of course I want to talk about this. This is, I mean, gut-wrenching.
Oh, my God. Yeah, gut-wrenching is the word. Very emotional and not a thing you're really used to seeing from your athletes. And this was a very sad, bittersweet at the very least. So Harry Shipp, he is the midfielder, I believe, midfielder for the Chicago Fire.
Chicago born and raised.
Yeah, and he got traded to the Montreal Impact. This was a complete surprise, very shocking to him. Everybody,
we retweeted it, so go to Soccer Cooligan's Twitter and
you'll
see it.
And you can see his letter to the fans.
He was sideswiped with the trade, which, you know, doesn't happen very often in other leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, players get sold, but here you can get traded.
Yeah, you get at least a little like notice, like, oh, we might be shopping you around.
What sucks is he was traded for allocation money, again, with this allocation money.
But just, yeah, not even another human being. Just
no, he got traded for a bag of money.
Straight up cash.
Just a book bag full of guap.
Yeah,
he got traded for, which it's a joke everywhere else. Like, we'll trade him for a bag of cash and a bag of chips, you know, like the old joke. Or trade him for a sack of potatoes. He actually got traded for a bag of cash. It's tough. Yeah. That's really, really tough if you're Harry Ship. He's a Chicago guy, and you got to read the letter. I mean, he is heartbroken.
I mean, it is leaving your hometown club, and this happens occasionally. And you know, the moment, and I've been seeing this with a couple of Premier League players where they're Arsenal fans, and they end up playing for Arsenal, and it is the greatest.
Yeah, we had a guy like that named Jenkinson. Man, his grandfather has a brick. At Arsenal when he wasn't picked to be in the 2023 person, even in the like the reserves, he would sit with the old fans. A player just sitting with the fans, like he was gut wrench when he got sent.
He bleeds Arsenal, you know,
and he got loaned and then eventually sold to West Ham, and you know. He's playing well for West Ham. He's not the greatest right back, and he was not at the level of Arsenal, but he got to play. He got to play in the first team. That's you know, it's a great moment.
It is.
2 years at Chicago. But what the hardest part is on the last page or on the second page, I think it's a 4-page letter he writes that he screen caps from his note app on his phone, that he says he felt bad. His whole goal was to build the sport of soccer in Chicago. And he feels bad that he was a part of the two statistically worst years in the Chicago Fire.
He kept it real. Kept it 100.
Yeah, he did not hold back. He admitted that. And, I mean, they were really bad last year. They were the only team worse than us.
Yeah.
And now he goes to the Vancouver Whitecaps, right?
No, to Montreal Impact.
To Montreal Impact, sorry. Wrong Canadian side.
So, obviously a stronger squad.
Yeah.
And he's going to have probably a better time, as far as success with his team.
Hopefully.
But it was sad. And you know what? My favorite part about it is this is the kind of passion and love about American soccer that I would love to see more of.
And that's the point. I think the point is this is what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to help build the sport of soccer in the U.S. And he's trying to do that in the city. I think we're a little more important because we're trying to do it for the entire country.
Correct.
But, you know, and I think that goes without saying. I think you guys already knew that. But, you know, he's trying to build it in the city he's from. I mean, he even says that his parents' house still has his old childhood bedroom, which has nothing but Chicago Fire jerseys and memorabilia up. The guy used to go to practices. And this is a time when no one cared about the Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
I mean, and he cared and he had the chance to play. That's tough. I would love if like a year from now he was just like such good friends with Didier Drogba that he doesn't care anymore. He's like, screw Chicago online. He's like, man, my buddy Drogba doesn't care about Chicago.
Stepping on his old kit in Montreal. Yeah.
He's burning it like when LeBron shows Miami. He's just burning it. He's like, screw Chicago. He's only eating thin crust pizza from now on.
Well, so it is very sad. Read the letter. It's beautiful. It is a little strange reading it on the note app on the iPhone, which is how letters are written now.
Yeah, you screen cap.
Yeah,
now that's it.
You know, you write back from the war. You know?
Dearest
Gwendolyn.
Yeah,
I've been traded.
Times are trying. A trade has happened.
Yeah. So, swipe left for the next screen cap. Of course. Yeah.
I've hurt my thumb typing this to you.
Yeah.
Very hard to find a phone charger here in the war. This is just where we are now.
But it is nonetheless, the words themselves are very sweet. So cheers to you, Harry Ship. We're going to be playing you a couple times.
Next time you come to New York, hit us up. We'll take you out for some deep dish.
Yeah, a little for some consolement.
You can cry on our shoulder.
Some depression pizza.
Yeah, which, you know. I mean, maybe deep dish will just make you more depressed because of how bad it is. But Maybe that's what you're into. Who knows?
No, but the quality pizzas in New York. Well, you know.
I mean, come on. Yeah, might as well get a good slice while you're here.
We'll hook them up. All right, guys. Well, we're going to go on a break, and we'll be back with Kirby's Corner.
Yeah.
Hello. No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, what's up, Chinese Super League? We got your biggest fans right here. It's the Cooligans. First, we want you to know that we're interested in you guys and we're interested in coming on board. I know you're thinking to yourself, who expects a podcast to be on the transfer market? No one. I mean, think about it. What else is there left for you to buy? You bought all the mediocre players in Europe. So now, yeah, you might as well buy one of the best podcasts in the U.S. about soccer, right? Come on. And along with podcasts, you get all these videos we do. You get myself. You get Christian. I think I blend him a little better than Christian. He actually probably size-wise, he blends in. You know, everyone's going to think I'm a sumo wrestler. I probably should do a little research to find out if you guys even have sumo in China. But nonetheless, I mean, we can handle all that after you go ahead and we finalize the transfer fee. And again, you know, whatever it is you paid Ramirez, consider paying us, you know. I think we bring a lot of value to the Chinese Super League. I mean, at this point, it's kind of embarrassing, and I think you need one, you know. So we come at a great rate, and whatever it is, 28 million, you know, euros, whatever it is, you know, I think it's a great rate for you guys. You guys obviously have a lot of money, and I think you just need a bit more marketing, and that's where we come in, right? A little comedic effect. We know how much the Chinese government loves to laugh at itself, right? You don't take yourselves too seriously, and I think we would be the perfect comedic relief for you guys. And think of all the money that the U.S. owes you, right? This would be like a little bit coming back your way. And we would probably prefer to stay in New York just because it's a little easier. And let's be honest, you could lick the ground on the subway and it's probably healthier than breathing the air in most major cities in China. But that's besides the point. I guess, you know, that's something that obviously once we come on board, we won't say anything about. But, yeah, I mean, we're totally willing to do whatever. So, buy us. Just, you know, give us a big old check.
Hey, everybody. Guess what time it is?
What time is it?
Kirby's Corner time!
Kirby's Corner. You know, every week we do this, and every week you ruin it, Christian.
I feel like I was adding like a sort of 90s sort of hip-hop vibe to...
Is that what you're trying to do? A little boom bap?
Boom, bap, boom, bap, boom, bap. You know, I thought
more like an mbop. You know that, no?
Mbop. Not what we were going for.
Who sang that song?
I know the song exists.
Oh, my God. I did not know. Hold on, popular and within your age range that you should know.
Let me give you a hint. It's how Adam Johnson would be if you let him loose in a high school.
Rapey?
No, it's hands on.
Great.
Thank you for the stars. Yeah!
Somebody really.
Thank you on Periscope. If you don't know those listening to the podcast, we Periscope this.
We are on Periscope. Follow us on Periscope at Soccer Cool Again.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So, cheers to Alexis's tasteless joke.
It was good. It was good.
Come on, it wasn't bad. What are people saying? They're not saying
I
it was bad.
These done. I love this. Somebody wrote. I love. Who wrote?
Oh,
this?
We love you too. Of course you do.
Northern One Prep. Yeah. I'm sorry if I have to stay. I have to put my face right in the lens because we are far away from the camera to get us all in frame. You know, we are large
you can
men.
Kind of Alexis out.
We
all, that would be okay.
We are very large men, and we need a wide angle lens to get us all. Clothes inside out. I don't know what that means. Alexis is hilarious. Well, what about?
Well, thank you very
that's
much.
That's Alexis typing that because he's an idiot. Yeah. That's why.
Well, anyway, what's the first topic on Kirby's Corner?
All right. Welcome to Kirby's Corner. On today's episode, Jermaine Jones has a hissy fit over Instagram. He posted an infographic, I guess we're going to call it, of his time before he got to New England Revolution and his time after, basically comparing how well they did with him and without him.
Yeah, I mean, he's right, though.
Is this like a before and after, like when you lose weight or gain weight? Or is that what we're looking at?
It kind of was.
Yeah.
It was to some degree. It was like before, no girls talked to me. After, can't get them off me. Not yeah. making an Adam Johnson remark.
I gave up all the Boston lobster rolls, and look yeah. at me now. Yeah.
Boston lobster roll.
Is that, was that a good food reference?
No, it's not. A, there's no such thing as a Boston lobster roll.
But, you know, because he plays in New England. Lobster rolls are big in New England.
Someone from Northern One Prep is saying, I'm telling everyone I know you guys, and thank you very much for telling everyone you know us.
You're the best.
We love you back. So here's the thing. I think Jermaine Jones is right. I mean, they played better with him. He's up there in age. He's, you know, he's going to give you a red card every 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard.
I mean, he is a goddamn menace.
I mean, geez, yeah. put shoulder pads and a helmet on that guy when he's out on the pitch.
And that's a fear, is that he's so, you know, it is, he shouldn't be a risk.
No.
He's a men's national team player. He should be a little bit, represent. Like, you know, America, he should represent his club a little bit better, even though he's clearly very, very German.
Yeah, very German. He's like, I want to be on the club.
But if you want to be, if you're a designated player, you're a big name star, you got to, you know, play the role. You got to be that guy.
You want to hear something that's going to put you more on his side? They tried to renegotiate his contract to pay him 20% of what he was making last year.
Oh, that's, well, I mean, why is that?
Well, see, here's
China Super League, baby.
China Super League, Jermaine Jones.
China, Jermaine.
Done.
You've already jumped nationalities once. You can do it again.
Yeah.
I will say this. He is very prone to injuries. He's getting up there in age.
And he's also prone to injure other people.
Yeah, and he's, prone,
that's
to, and he's prone to red.
He's prone to injure.
No, but he also has the groin of glass, basically.
Oh, you're saying a much bigger man.
Although some women like a groin of glass, if you know what I mean.
It's like a whole different Cinderella story.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what the Revolution are thinking. And I don't blame them, but that much is...
It's a bit much, but he's right. I mean, look, you don't pull a Kanye and go on Twitter or on Instagram and start just complaining. That's not the way to get what you want, but it is a great way to get attention.
Because that's how it ends, with fingers in the booty ass bitch.
Yeah. Hashtag.
Well,
hashtag.
Jermaine Jones should do what?
Which is Edison Cavani, I guess.
Jermaine Jones should Jermaine Jones should do what Kanye West did and just ask Mark Zuckerberg for $56 billion.
$1 billion.
For $1 billion. Because that's how much you need to be creative.
It's an expensive.
Look how creative we're being with about $13.
Yeah. Look at this.
So, yeah.
What's the next story?
All right. So, we're on Periscope right now. We're using this streaming.
You got the questions, right?
Live.
Yeah, I can see them.
Okay. Those streaming live to the internet via Periscope. And a footballer who used Periscope was Aurier, the right back from PSG, but he used it to call his coach, Laurent Blanc, a homophobic slur.
Hilarious.
On Periscope,
okay. And also to insult.
That's more of a Snapchat thing. You don't really do that on Periscope.
Yeah, because that'll go away after, you know, 10 seconds.
It's got to go away if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Although Periscope goes away in 24 hours.
24 hours. Still a long.
Too much time.
Yeah, still too long.
The media has a lot of access to that. It's
too much time.
And then also he insulted Zlatan, which you just do not do.
How dare he?
Oh, my goodness. I would strike my mother for insulting
How hilarious
Zlatan.
Was our reaction to homophobic slur of the coach? We're like, okay, I get it.
Okay,
and then Zlatan, whoa.
He offended Zlatan. How dare you?
I'm about to break my laptop.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing this on Twitter. We're just getting some comments on the Periscope. But he got in trouble? Did he get suspended? What happened to him?
He got suspended. He missed. We just watched the PSG-Chelsea Champions League match.
Yeah, he missed that.
Yeah, he missed that. And I think it was a six-game suspension he has now. So
this is a big deal. I mean, look, we're learning that Periscope, you really should keep your drama off of Periscope.
Yeah.
Look, if you...
We're not bringing any drama to this thing.
No, we're not. We're all...
If you haven't learned anything from Anthony Cumia, you have not learned anything at all.
Yeah.
I don't mean... Anthony Cumia of Opie and Anthony is in the middle of a terrible situation where his girlfriend Periscoped an argument they were having, and it looked pretty bad, It got everywhere, so it didn't really help with what the legal case he's about to have.
Yeah, no, it certainly didn't. No. And, you know, we were talking about the Chelsea-PSG match that we just saw. NYCFC podcast said that it was a great goal by Cavani. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And he had hoped Miazga would have debuted. He's so close. How many more center backs have to be injured before Miazga gets a chance?
One, apparently.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Yeah, I think he's right there. He's next in line.
Yeah,
We got a comment that says that I was thumb blanking with my phone. You're 100% right. We're trying to get some extra hearts over here.
Hey.
All right. So thank you, Dejan.
Dejan Lovren, you should be playing for Liverpool, not watching some Periscope.
Fine. I'll let it go. Whoever's giving us the purple and yellows, thank you for taking it.
Yeah, you're the best.
These are genuine hearts. Thank you for the hearts.
Thank you for the hearts. For everyone listening to the podcast, they're like, what are they talking about? We're trying to watch on Periscope. We're doing this on Periscope in here. Yeah. So if you listen to this podcast, hurry up to Periscope. You might be able to actually watch us through this segment.
That's right.
If it's still around, regardless of what we call our own blog.
There are new people here. We're comedians who talk soccer. If anybody does not know that, that's what we do. What's next, Kirby?
All right. So did you guys watch the NBA slam dunk contest?
I did.
Boy, did I.
Well, I saw the highlights. I didn't really watch the whole thing because I expected it to be bad, and it turned out to be the greatest slam dunk contest ever.
Steve Nash pulling the assist, the kick up into the slam dunk.
Pure techers. Remember the rumor that he was going to go to New York Cosmos B, their B team?
No, I didn't.
What?
Yeah, the rumor was that Steve Nash was going to, after he retired from basketball, that he was going to play. The guy's got skill. I remember when he first came into the league, Canadian dude, and he had a ton of skill, and he was like a big fan of soccer. And for us, for guys like us that loved soccer, just to hear another athlete that was a big time talk about soccer was huge. And then he showed it. He showed it on the court. Dude's got some skill.
Yeah,
he really does. He did that better than most like players can do it. And under all the pressure of a slam dunk contest in front of thousands of fans.
Imagine he was the one that just kept getting it wrong. He's just pelting people with the ball. Exactly. I'm so sorry. Popcorn's flying everywhere.
But Steve Nash has done that before. He did it a couple years ago when he was playing for the Phoenix Suns. He kicked the ball up to, I don't remember the exact move.
Right. It was another soccer-like move.
Yeah. It's cool to see. It wasn't like out of all the dunks in the dunk contest, there were better dunks.
No, you got one guy was on a hoverboard
Aaron
the douche dunk.
Yeah. And the one, it was hilarious. He put on Oakley's backwards on the back of his head in midair.
the double douche dunk.
He had an Affliction shirt on while he dunked. Yeah,
he tap out. He took it off and became a tap out shirt underneath. Perfect.
Then he had an Ed Hardy tattoo.
He got a Dane Cook DVD autographed in midair. We want to thank NYCFC Forums for saying they would share this on the forum. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So if you guys are coming in, thank you so much for watching.
Yeah. I have a question to pose to you guys. What would be your all-time best NBA soccer? Like NBA players who also play soccer. Like who would be on that team?
I would say Kobe.
Kobe?
Kobe's got to be. Yeah, he big Barca fan. Grew up in Italy. Knows Italian. And huge, huge soccer fan.
I got to easily say Kristaps Porzingis, guys.
Yeah.
The zinger.
Crisp shot dope Zingis. I mean, what, you are 100% right.
Yeah.
Kobe clearly out.
Kobe's done.
Not Kobe in. Kobe
Porzingis is in first, second.
We need a captain.
Third,
we need a captain. We need that authoritative presence, and I think Kobe can be that.
Oh, man. Kobe's a coach because he's up there.
Porzingis could be
Coach B?
our
Coach B. Nice.
Tim Crouch or Peter Crouch?
No, it's Peter Crouch. I get what you're saying. Just because he's super tall.
He would play the exact same position. Just cross. Just throw me the crosses.
Yeah, but he's like, guys, I couldn't use my feet. And like, just get your forehead forward. Just lean your forehead forward.
I am 9 feet tall.
He's like, you know, I have a headache. Of course you do. We're pelting you with crosses in the forehead.
I think I have 6 concussions. Shut up. Yeah. You don't know. You don't even know what you're talking about. You have a concussion.
Get back out there. In this game that clearly doesn't matter, which is NBA players playing soccer.
Just complete hypothetical. Yeah.
What else happened in the world of soccer, Kirby?
For the first time, and this is a travesty, for the first time, Lionel Messi has been named the La Liga Player of the Month.
I think shut La Liga down. How could you have gone this long?
Who was getting it before? Gary Neville. It was just Gary Neville. Just
Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year. Coach of the Month. Over and over.
I think it's an absolute travesty, and it shows that there's corruption in La Liga.
There actually is not corruption.
This
is the first time that the Player of the Month award has been handed out in La Liga. They never had that award. And Premier League had that award.
That's also very stupid.
I think the reason that maybe the corruption still exists, so that I'm not wrong, is because they didn't do it because they know Messi would win it every time.
I mean, every time.
It's getting tired. I mean, at this point,
yeah,
he's so
he's getting tired of winning so much.
He's getting so ridiculously dominant. that it's, I mean, oh, it's not becoming Angel, embarrassing about to the league, but he's just so good.
Kind of is. I mean, at some point he has to make a move. You can't keep
doing this. I think the top three in La Liga are competitive. You really don't know.
Okay, starting a club tomorrow, both players in their prime, Ronaldo or Messi, who do you pick?
You've already answered this.
Yeah, we've talked about this enough.
We have discussed this. You say Ronaldo, I say Messi.
Really?
Yeah.
Kirby, we never asked you.
All right.
Dead air. Always good on a podcast.
Even better on Periscope.
Yeah. Gotta get those hearts in. I'm gonna be completely honest. I would not take either of them.
That's not the question. The question is which of the two.
Well, I need a new answer because you said Ronaldo and you said Messi. I need to like distinguish myself somehow.
Fine. If you had to start a club, any player in their prime in the last 10 years.
Mesut Ozil.
Really?
Yeah.
You start with Ozil? I can't argue. I'm an Arsenal fan.
I will argue very much. That doesn't make any sense to me, especially with the other options available.
Dejan thinks you don't watch football.
No, it's very not that funny. I don't watch football. It's just that I do not care about La Liga at all.
How could you not? Great clubs. We don't want to disparage La Liga.
Three good clubs.
He says you definitely don't watch football with that answer. I'm an Arsenal fan, so don't watch your back, Dejan. But I will say Mesut Ozil's wonderful, right? Mesut Ozil's wonderful, but come on. You got to pick a top world-class player. Mesut Ozil's close to that, but you got to think Ronaldo and Messi are a little bit above that.
And for what Ozil does, he is a world-class player.
100%.
But he needs someone to feed the ball to. He's not the guy. He's not up front. He's not gonna
he can't feed
like
the ball
that.
To himself. He might learn how to do that at Arsenal this season, and we may win the league.
Messi can, and he has shown... He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Whatever he wants.
Whenever he wants. And look, the penalty.
That was a beautiful penalty.
That penalty.
They're not the first to do that. Belgium did that. Belgium national team did that like 50 years ago.
Look, but this is
And then Henri and Perez screwed it up.
So yeah. if you didn't see this.
That's right. Jesus.
Barcelona.
I had to bring that back up.
Barcelona played Celta Vigo.
Yeah.
And they were crushing them. They were up 5 goals. I think they ended up winning 6-1.
Yeah.
And they did. I don't even know what it's exactly. I understand it as called the two-touch penalty. So,
it goes down as a missed penalty for the person who is supposed to take the penalty.
Okay,
shot.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it goes. I mean, it has to go down as a missed penalty.
So Messi tapped it off to Suarez, who ran inside the box and scored the goal.
Right.
So this is crazy. One, because Messi is a notoriously amazing penalty taker.
Yes.
He rarely.
Yeah, I mean, you can't figure out where he's going. You certainly didn't think he was going slightly to the left or to the right.
And so
a full meter and a half.
The amount of courage, balls.
Yeah.
Trust.
Gravitas.
Yeah.
To do this.
Stoicism.
To do this.
Other buzzword.
Not everybody can do this. So this is why I would want someone like Messi, because he's.
You did hear me say that the Belgian national team did it, right?
Yes.
But against Iceland in 1957.
Right. But this is the thing. Obviously, the quality of the game and the competitiveness of the game has grown leaps and bounds.
Sure.
So doing this in 1957 is clearly not as impressive as doing it now.
Can I say, if Ronaldo had done it, not that I'm a Ronaldo apologist, but if Ronaldo had done it, all we would hear is, look how cocky he is.
Yeah,
making a mockery of the sport and blah, 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 blah. Messi does it. And everyone's like, ooh.
Messi's untouchable.
Oh, so magical. He's magisterial is all you have to hear about. That's all we have to hear.
Ray Hudson lost his mind.
Yeah.
He lost his damn mind.
He had to change his pants. Again, didn't make an Adam Johnson comment.
But the one thing, that there was some debate around it because it did look like Suarez ran in early. He looked like
sure. I think that's the fear of...
Or his buck tooth got in a little too early.
All right.
Also, I don't know if you saw this, but Neymar apparently said that ball was meant for him, that Suarez just kind of stole it.
That's interesting, hilarious. because I thought it was initially... The commentators were basically saying that it was sort of kind of messy to to give him
kind
that...
Of messy.
Kind of messy.
Really?
Everyone left because of that.
That's all it took. crush. Kirby loves puns, man.
They were saying that it was nice of Messi, of Leo, to basically do that the tap for Suarez to get to complete the hat trick. So it was like that was the reason he was doing it.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe it was initially to Neymar to help him with his financial woes. But I don't know. So what?
Suarez through was Barca with my woes. Anyway.
So yeah.
Another reference Kirby doesn't get. That's an actual modern song.
Yeah, that is
from
and
Drake.
And it's a good one. Anything else, Kirby?
I
think
that's it.
Yeah. Is that it? Okay.
This has been a fun episode.
We've already gone 2 minutes over what you told me we could do.
Oh, that's fine.
So we're done. Thank you so much, Periscopers.
Thank you, Periscope.
Scopers? What do they call you? I don't know. But thank you so much for hanging out and watching us. Thank you so much for everyone listening.
Yeah, follow us on here if you're not following us already.
He pointed at the Periscope.
At Soccer Cooligans. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Cooligans.
Twitter, Instagram, Vine. We've been crushing it on Vine as well.
The Vine game is strong.
Come on, baby.
And one thing, I don't mention it often enough, but if you like the podcast, go on iTunes and leave us a review. Subscribe to the show.
Five stars would be a huge help.
5 stars would be great.
Anything less than that, email it to us. We'll put it up for you. How's that sound?
Yeah. So if you're on Periscope right now and you like what we're doing, we have a podcast. You can listen to at soccercooligans.com.
That's what we're doing right now. We're not just Periscoping for
fun. We're recording this. So follow us on there and subscribe and review. We would be so grateful because we want to climb up those ranks so that more people can know about the show, the show that you love so much.
Dejan, coming for you, man. Dejan put -1 star for the Ozil comments. So, Dejan,
screw you.
Everyone besides
Messi
you.
And Ronaldo can't give it to themselves. They have to have someone to give it to them. Ozil can give it to them. I'm right. You're
also
wrong. Mic drop.
You know
also
what?
Didn't make an Adam Johnson comment during that.
Also, you know
can't
what?
Give it to
we'll take the 4 stars. I kind of like the 4 stars. Please give us the
he
four
also
stars.
Said, haha, love it. Thank you so much for listening, Dejan. Thank you, everyone who's listening and watching. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Alexis Guerrero.
My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Kirby Pate.
And you've been listening to
The Cooligans.
Thank you so much.
Woo!